I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Key verse tonight, John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. I added the word absolutely. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I also have loved you. Abide in this love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things that I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Let's pray again. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come to you and we ask that you would teach us. By the power of your Spirit, would you use this time to change our hearts? Would you change our minds? Would you transform them? Would you take anyone in here that is still dead in sin, would you take them to life by your grace through faith? Jesus, would you do that tonight? And Lord, also, for those in here who know you and are following after you, I pray that they would be challenged, encouraged, and look more like you because of our time in the Scriptures, looking to you. Lord, we beg of you. We don't come to retreats and as college students and as young adult leaders and just hope that, you know, it's fun. We want this to be meaningful. And so I'm going to ask that you would pray to God in your own hearts, not out loud, but just in your own hearts. Would you say, God, would you use this time to change my life? And God, I pray also that you would help me to get out of the way. Would I abide in you? I pray against distractions, Lord. And I know there's honestly some like decent distractions. There's like things that are really hard right now. We have family conflict. We have a pandemic. There's division, all these things. And not to mention, somebody probably forgot to do their homework tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that they would forget it the whole time. And they'd remember right after. Lord, we love you and we pray that you would bless this time. Amen. Let's go. I'm Dale. You don't know me. It's fine. I really think it's an honor to be here. I say that sincerely because I've been praying for you, not in a creepy way, but in a very sincere way for years. If you're a part of the nine, then on Thursday mornings, I was thinking about this. I was like, this is crazy. Like on Thursday mornings, the nine, Cooper and Logan, Anna, who has since gone to Watermark Plano. I know it's a little outdated. Grant, he's here. Man, I'm going to kill this mic. Enemy. Grant and Abigail and Tori on Thursdays. And just, you're going to make me hold one? Okay, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll turn it off. Yeah, you can. I hate holding a mic. But anyways, who cares?
I've been praying for you. It's an honor to be here. I'm Dale. I once did the Watermark residency years ago, and just after I finished the residency, well, you can clap, I failed the residency. I had to stand and deliver twice, and I'm like known as the screw-up of the residency. Somehow I'm here with you. But as I left the residency, I went to Waco, which was where my people are. I'm from Baylor, and I got back to Waco just after the residency, and my friends decided that like we should all be a part of a triathlon, which is a swim, a bike, and a run. And the Olympic one is like a mile swim. What is it? I can't even remember. It's like a half marathon bike and a 6K run. And I just decided I'm going to do it on a whim. Like, they all prepared, and I was like, look at me. I'm pretty decently athletic. Actually, I don't look athletic, but I'm more athletic than I look. Anyways, so we decide to run this race, and we get in the water. They shoot the gun, and I let everyone else go in front of me, you know, those tryhards, and I start swimming. And this is why I didn't want to hold my mic. I start swimming, and like 30 seconds in, I'm out of breath. Who likes to swim? I don't like any of you. Okay, so I can't swim. I'm more of a drowner, not much of a swimmer. And so I go to backstroke, right? We all know backstroke. So I'm at backstroke, just taking it easy, but I'm still a little bit out of breath, which is kind of embarrassing. And so I go to the next best thing, which is the froggy stroke. Slightly desperate, doesn't matter. I'm going to finish. And in fact, I was like, I'm not going fast enough. So I need to go to breaststroke. And that ended up being the pace I needed to go. And as I'm doing this, I'm the last in the water out of the entire race. Like, I am the very last person that is still in the water. And I have a jet ski on my right and a kayak on my left because I've been identified as the most likely to die, okay? And they're right. Like, I'm cramping, like sincerely cramping and out of breath and just trying to get through. It takes me 1 hour to swim a mile, which is awful. You could like, I don't know, you could doggy paddle that fast and swim a mile. I think there was something wrong with the current, but that's beside the point. I get out of the water, and in Waco, there's this beautiful suspension bridge that all of this crowd had collected, not for me, but just for everyone. And I get out of the water, and they're pity clapping me. They're like, we're so proud of you. And I'm like, I hate all of you. All you Karens that came to visit Magnolia, I'm done with you. And I end up, just after I'm thinking bad thoughts like that, I end up having to stretch. And as I'm stretching, I start to see my carbohydrates from the night before. And they're coming out of me. And so people start yelling, medic! And I'm like, this is awful. And so I stop. A medic politely comes to me and tends to me. And as he's tending to me, he's like, hey, do you have the pills? I'm like, dude, I don't do drugs, okay? What are you talking about? He's like, no. Do you have goo or anything that's supposed to help you through this race? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Honestly, at the time, I really did not know what he was talking about. He's like, do you have the salt pills? Do you have the goo? Do you have the hydration things or something? I don't even know what he's saying, okay? Nutrition, hydration, missing. And I was like, I don't have any of it. He's like, stay right here. I'm going to go get you some of the stuff. You can't keep going. And so he leaves. And I thought to myself, he's a nurse. That's a male nurse. He can't tell me how to live my life. So I kept going. I get on my bike. I don't need salt. I don't need drugs. I don't need hydration. I'm going to do my own thing. So I get on my bike, and I start pedaling as fast as I can, and I try to catch up to people, and then I get on the run, and I start running through this park in Waco, which is way too hilly. It doesn't belong in Waco, and I'm running up and down these hills, and at one point, I'm cramping in both sides of my legs, in both legs, and I end up on my back. This is a true story. I just want to start with that. True story. I'm looking up, screaming for help. No one's there, because they're cleaning up the course. Seriously. I'm like, where do I go? I'm like making turns. I'm like, is it this way? And they're like, yeah, sorry, we picked up the cones. I'm like, cool, I'm still going, all right? And so I'm yelling for help. Finally, I pick myself up, stretch it out, like hobble up the hills and back down, and I barely finish the race. Barely. Thank you. Praise God. I'm here to tell the story. 5 years ago, That race changed my life. No, I'm kidding. It really did, though, in some ways, because it was a beautiful picture of the way a lot of us try to live, especially in college, but even in young adulthood and beyond. Like, I was missing a key component. Like, very, very basic. Nutrition, hydration. It's a part of the race. But I, being an absolute idiot and filled with pride, thought, no. High school, all-state, football. I can swim, right? No. And I think truly tonight, as we answer the question that Cooper asked me to answer, and ask the question that, why follow Jesus in 2021 and up and beyond and wherever we're going, as we answer that question tonight, I want you to know that I think that there's some things that we're doing wrong. And they're not just like little things. They're the most basic, fundamental, most important things. And so we should pay attention tonight in this why follow Jesus question. It's the basics. It's the first night of this because as college students, we believe so many lies. Like when I was in college, following Jesus meant I was going to miss out. And we heard it in the spoken word. It's like it's gonna, you know, following Jesus is gonna, we're gonna miss out. It's not a good thing. It's lame. It's gonna keep you from joy, fullness of life, partying, the true college experience, right? We're gonna miss out on the God-given desire that I have to have sex outside of marriage. Like I'm gonna miss out if I follow Jesus. I'm gonna miss out. And I just want you to know before we start into John 15 is that just remember John 8. And if you need to study it, go look at it. And it's that the devil is a liar. He has planted these things in our head. Following Jesus is stupid. It's lame. It's going to keep you from fullness of life. It's going to keep you from joy. It's going to make you miss out. John 8. The devil is a liar. It's in his character. It's in his blood. He's the father of lies. Know it. And so because he is a liar, we must turn to truth. If you have your scriptures, we're going to be in John 15. We are going to learn John 15:5 together. And in fact, I want you to know it by the end of this weekend. It's your homework assignment to memorize this verse. And hopefully we go so slow through it that you know it by the end of this. John 15:5 starts with this. I am the vine and you are the branches. Pause. Jesus is speaking and he's saying to his disciples, he's saying, I'm the vine and you guys are the branches. This is a casting of characters. This is Jesus' final I am statement. To the Jews, this would have been very bold. You're like, vine, who cares, right? Like, I don't know anything about gardening, you know? If you're like me, I know absolutely nothing. Jesus is the vine, but to the Jews, it would have been like if I was an American and I came up to you and I was like, I'm the true bald eagle. You'd be like, what in the world? This guy's full of himself. Like, what a weird thing to say, but that's what it's saying. That's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, I'm the vine, because the vine represented Israel. And if you want to see the gospel in this text, it's right here, right as we start. For Jesus to be the true vine, that means he's the true Israel. He's the perfect and faithful Israel, because Israel in the Old Testament continues to go on their own way. Israel continues to disobey. God in his kindness continues to be faithful to them, but Israel was imperfect. So Jesus being the true vine is perfectly faithful through his life. He takes the death that the Jews and Gentiles deserved because they're sinners. We are sinners. And he rose from the dead so that Israel didn't have to pay the price. And Gentiles as well were added in. So this is super meaningful. Maybe not to you again, but to his audience. This is what he's saying. Jesus is the vine, and the disciples are the branches. And we would be included in that. As Christ's disciples, as followers of Jesus, who are we? We are branches. If you want to write something really simple down, we're the branches. You see, Jesus is about to die. Like, he's leaving. Within 12 hours of him saying this, he's going to be put on a cross. He's going from here to a garden, to being arrested, to staying up all night, being accused, being beaten, and then going to a cross to be crucified. And he knows it. And so he's saying, hey, I'm going to leave, but don't worry. I'm the vine, and I'm going to be here still, because I'm going to be connected to you. You're going to be a branch. This is us. This is us. I stole this from a Christmas tree. Don't ask questions. It was on the side of the road. So anyways, we're just the branches. Christ is the vine. He's who we're connected to. And apart from that, it doesn't seem like we can function. So the first point tonight, if you're one of those note takers that needs notes, there aren't really points, but here's a few that I made up for you. The first is that Christ is the source of life. Let's keep going in this verse. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. What's the first word here? It's whoever. The first word in this, we usually skip over. We're like, we want to get to the abiding part. We want to get to the bearing fruit part. But I think the very first word is very, very important for us, because it really means whoever. It means that no matter how rich or poor, no matter if you think you're beautiful or you think you're ugly, no matter your social gifting or non-social gifting, if you're totally uncomfortable, no matter your color, no matter how many followers you have on Instagram, no matter what summer internship you have, no matter what organization you are in, no matter how popular you are, whoever abides in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Whoever abides can be used by God. Whoever abides can be used by God. Here's a good example. God can use murderers, see David. God can use someone that sold his brother into slavery. We've all been bad siblings, see Judah. God can use sexual sinners, both prostitutes and adulterers, see Rahab and David again. And all of these are just taken from Matthew 1 in the lineage of Christ himself. You see, God uses, yes, sinful people by grace, but he uses people that abide in him. And I want to pause and stop and say something that it's a little bit weird, because I'm not with you in Dallas. I'm not with you in school, but I feel like I can still say this. And I just want to stop here and say I'm sorry. This is not taught well by the church and by leaders like me. And I'm sorry that so often we put on a stage people who look a certain way and dress a certain way and have a certain vibe, have a certain social media following, have excellent social skills, and often athleticism. And it's like kind of funny, but like we're part of the problem. Is that the church has done you a disservice, and the church is part of why you don't think God can use you, because of who we've put up. And I'm sorry, because he can use you. In a simple hope to bring more people to an event and market an event, we have pushed out the very people that God wants to use. And I can say this, I feel this, I live this. I need to look a certain way. I need to post on social media a certain amount. I'm supposed to wear black whenever I teach. What crap. I'm sorry. And I'm wearing black, like I'm admitting it. It's whoever abides in God and in the Lord can be used by God. Let's keep going. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Whoever abides, let's stop there. The word abide, I love this word. It's like, I just think it's the coolest thing ever. I can't even define it, okay? Because we don't use the word very often, but I love it. So what does it mean? It means to remain, your scripture, your version might say remain. I would say it means to continue. It means to stay connected. We remain in relationship to Christ, and Christ will remain in relationship to us. If we continue in Christ, Christ will continue in us. It's this mutual relationship. And I think this is why you may have heard it said that Christianity isn't a religion. And you're like, well, wait a second. It is a religion, right? Like it, at its very core, it seems like a religion. On the outside, when you look in, it's like, this is a religion. All you people that don't think it's a religion, you need to look up what the definition of a religion is, right? But here's the reality. Like, this is what sets apart Christianity from the rest. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. It's about being connected to Jesus, remaining in Jesus. You are a branch. You are meant to continue and remain and abide and stay connected in your relationship to Jesus. You see, but we must be aware that you can be really moral. You can be have every Christian value. You can even be a good communicator. You could be a great preacher. You could say all the right things and not truly be in relationship with Christ. You ever seen those kids in the mall that are on leashes? It's like the most ungodly thing you've ever seen, but we're all going to use it one day when we have kids. You know, they like walk around, the moms are like, I'm so annoyed, but get back here, right? And they like get their kid back, they're out of control, they're like, get over here. And it's the sick thing that we've like made normal, but it's honestly pretty entertaining. So it's fine. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen these people. Yes, we can make fun of them because we're not there yet. One day we'll get it. But like, that's kind of what it's like to abide in Christ. Like, you're always connected. But again, some of you think it's a leash. You're like, it's just keeping me from the fun. But it's whoever abides in me and I in him. So it's better than that parent-child leash. It's like a mutual leash. I'm going to hang on to this, and he's going to hang on to me. It's a relationship. It's better than the leash. It's so, so great. But it's a good picture of how we're meant to stay connected. I love the word abide. One of the words I use in place of abide is to continue. You see, I think we've done a disservice in Christianity to minimizing it to a prayer, a raising of the hands, and then it's done. That's it. Congrats, you're a Christian. Welcome to the family. You get your get out of hell free card. There it is. You won't burn. But it's so much more than that. I like the word continue because that was a one-time choice by grace through faith to follow Jesus, to believe in Jesus. But we continue each and every day to make that choice to follow him. So whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Let's get to that next portion. He it is that bears much fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit? This is the second point for all my note takers. Whoever abides bears fruit. Whoever. Still a key word there. Doesn't matter who. Whoever abides bears fruit. What is fruit? Yes, it's obedience. Yes, it's following Jesus. I want to focus on two primary fruits tonight for you college students. And it's this. First is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. We're meant to be connected to Christ, and in our connection, we're meant to become more like him and our love and our joy and our peace and our patience and our kindness and our goodness and our faithfulness and our gentleness and our self-control. I probably missed one. I usually do. I think I got it that time, though. That's the first thing. Like, we're meant to look more like Jesus. We look like him. And then the next one, I'm going to mix the metaphor here. We're going away from abiding for a second, and you being a branch, bear with me. I know you're not supposed to mix metaphors. Get over it. You're in college. You can handle this. Here's the next one. Ready? First one, look like Jesus, fruit of the Spirit. Next one is that fruit, as a branch, you have fruit. And fruit has seeds. And when seeds hit the ground, you know what they do? They die and they reproduce. You see, in John 12:24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Another one, the parable of the sower in Mark 4. Jesus is talking about how the seed is the word. It lands on good soil, and it reproduces 30, 60, 100-fold. You see, what is fruit? You need to know this. I know you don't think you need to know this, but what is fruit? It's looking more like Jesus, and it's teaching other people. It's reproducing. It's multiplication. That means evangelism, one, telling people about Jesus, and two, discipleship, helping them follow the scriptures. The scriptures can get weird, y'all. What does it mean to abide? I didn't know when I was in college. I was trying to figure it out. You will get to show someone, this is what I learned about what it means to abide. You take it and you pass it on. You evangelize and you disciple. It's called multiplication. That's what fruit does. It looks like Jesus, and then over time, your fruit falls, the seeds die, and it reproduces and multiplies. But here's what I love and think it's so important that we understand what fruit is. Are you bearing fruit? Write it down. You have the fruit of the Spirit. Like, are you growing in your gentleness? And are you evangelizing and discipling and multiplying? Because if you aren't bearing fruit, there could be a few different problems. The first is you aren't abiding. And if you are abiding, and you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're daily abiding, denying yourself, but you're not bearing fruit, I just want to pause. This might be some of you, seriously. This was me this fall. It was the hardest fall of my life. And so I do actually want to take a second to say, some of you are abiding and you're like, It's been a wasteland. It's been the worst year of my life. And I just want you to know, like, God prunes those he loves. So if you're in the pruning, if you're abiding, be patient. It's so that you'll bear more fruit on the other end. The Father is the vine dresser. He's the farmer. And in his kindness, he prunes those that he loves. Are you bearing fruit? And then I think there's another group in here that aren't bearing fruit because you're connected to false vines and you actually think fruit is something different. You're connected to the world, or your fruit is worldly and you think that's good. I want you to write this down. Worldly success is not an indication of fruit. Like, your popularity is not an indication that God loves you and that you are connected to God's love. Your riches and your favor in business, your side jobs, doesn't mean you're abiding. Your 4.0 doesn't mean that you're abiding. You getting that job does not mean that you're abiding. Having a following and fame does not mean that you're abiding. Or bearing fruit. It just means you're famous. I want you to think about this in social media in particular. Like, do you know how many followers on social media Elizabeth Elliot had? And Billy Graham?
and Francis Chan and Nabil Qureshi and Amy Carmichael and Mary and Martha and Paul and Timothy. They had zero. I love thinking about things, kind of trying to think outside the box. So when I think about social media, and every time I try to live for social media, every time I think social media and following equals fruit, whenever I buy that lie from the devil, I have to remember, anything that didn't exist 250 years ago isn't worth finding life in and isn't an indication of fruit. Think about that. That means the dollar is not an indication of fruit. YouTube following, not an indication of fruit. Social media, not an indication of fruit. Not a place to find life. The Dallas Cowboys, not a place to find fruit. All right? That's right. I'm from Houston. Woo! Anyways, had to let it out at some point. There it is. I think some of us sincerely, like, we love this fake fruit because it looks so dadgum good. This is what it looks like. This is straight from Magnolia in Waco, I think. My roommates worked there and I stole it. So I think this is where they got it. It looks so good all the time. Isn't that like social media? Highlight reel? Always good. You know, this thing never gets pruned. It's always going to look like this pretty. It's always going to look like this. Never going to grow. Fake fruit. And honestly, living in the South, like cultural Christianity, this is what a lot of us are doing. Like, this is a lot of us. And if you're asking the question, like, when I ask the question, are you bearing fruit? If you're not able to say, man, yeah, I'm looking more like Jesus and I'm multiplying, I love you enough to tell you, this isn't where life's found. Fake fruit looks good all the time. Real branches, this ugly thing, this thing's so, it smells good still. It smells like Christmas. But it doesn't always look good. It's got all these little spikes where you can tell, like, not all the branches made it. It got pruned, and I broke it off. It looks awkward. It's not straight. Doesn't look good. And it takes time to grow. That's the other thing that we don't like about fruit. This looks good all the time. It's fake, though. Fruit takes time. True fruit, real fruit, it takes time. We want the Amazon Prime fruit. God wants long obedience and abiding in the same direction, and the fruit will come. So first, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, Christ is our source of life. Whoever abides in me, whoever abides in Jesus and Jesus in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Whoever abides bears fruit. Worldly success, no indication of this fruit. Let's finish with this. For apart from Jesus, it says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Third point tonight for my three-point people that have been so wisely raised up in 3 points. I was taught 3 points too, so I'll give it to you. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing. Like, that seems stupid. Honestly, it seems harsh. Honestly, not even true. We could have made millions this week apart from God if we had just put the right amount of money into GameStop, right? And honestly, you still might be able to if you put the right amount of money into AMC or some other, you know, stock that we're going to hit, you know? I'm part of the revolt. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. But there's plenty of those people that are going to be millionaires and really messing with the big billionaires. They're all going bankrupt. But there's plenty of people that are millionaires and billionaires that are evil. But apart from Christ, you can do nothing. There's plenty of successful people that are evil. Remember what fruit is. Apart from Christ, you can't bear fruit. Apart from Christ, you have no lasting and real significance. You have no eternal impact apart from Christ. The problem, we don't believe this. Some of us need to repent for trying to do it on our own. And honestly, for the person that's still figuring out if they want to follow Jesus in the room, the skeptic, or you're just here, somebody dragged you here, I'm so glad you're here. I want you to really know, why follow Jesus as we go 2021 and here on out and up and all that stuff? Why should I follow Jesus? Apart from him, you are wasting your life. And it's a lie that following him is anything different. It's where fullness of life and fullness of joy is found. Some of us need to repent and pray that God would help us to believe this. So in summary tonight, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. He's our source of life. Whoever abides in Jesus and Jesus is in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Worldly indication or worldly success is no indication. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So let's apply this to our lives. You are trying to run this race and this triathlon without the very most important thing. You're just a branch. You cannot do anything. You cannot produce an ounce of fruit apart from the vine. We need the most important thing, which is to abide. So the first, for those that don't have a relationship with Jesus, you need to connect to Jesus. You're the branch, you need to connect to him. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For the rest in here, that means continue in your relationship with Jesus. Abide. Prayer is one of the leading and best indications of abiding. Prayer, constant prayer, leads to consistent fruit. It's not constant fruit. Constant would be fake. Consistent prayer leads to consistent fruit. God's word is the way we listen to him and relate to him. Even God can use the Holy Spirit to lead us. That's how we abide. And all these things, God's word, the church, community, all these different things. Listen, I'm no gardener, but this I think is called a trellis. I think it's fake though, but it's a trellis. And vines go on it, and branches go on it. You see, these beams, they're the things that help us stay on the vine. They're what keep the branches up when they get heavy, and they keep them connected. That's God's word, and God's people, and the Holy Spirit, and the church, and our community, and all these different things. Like, that's what's keeping us connected to it. That's how we do it. And that's what we're going to be learning about the rest of the weekend, is all these different things and all these different ways that we are meant to be connected as branches to the true vine, the person of Jesus. And I want to close with a quick story. It's that I really believe that college students have the ability to change the world. I think you are. You can. I believe in you. That's why I've given my life to students in Waco. That's why I've given my Friday night to you, because I truly believe in you. And if you want to change the world 2021 and up, I have something for you. And it has to do with this abiding. I'm going to tell you a story about a college student. There was actually a group of Wheaton students. They were on a trip. And as they were on this trip, they were touring John Wesley's house. And as they're touring John Wesley's house, they're learning all about it. And on John Wesley's floor are two dents. And they're the two dents where he would hit his knees every day for such a long period of time that the wooden floors had these dents in them. And they were watching this, they were looking at this, and then they went on to the next, you know, site that they were going to go. And the professor was like, we're missing somebody. Where'd he go? And he goes back to the room and sitting in the two dents is a young man by the name of Billy Graham in college on his knees crying out, "Do it again, Lord. Would you do it again, Lord?" You see, if you want to change the world, it starts by denting the wood. Humility is required to abiding. Otherwise, you'll never think you need Jesus. And you'll never follow him. So would you join me in denting the ground together tonight in humility? If you have the ability, let's hit our knees and pray. Lord, we are so sorry. I am so sorry for so often doing so much apart from you. I forget so often to take things to you, to ask you what is your will, not my own will, to seek obedience in prayer, to seek transformation through your word. Lord, we repent of too often living apart from you. Lord, we return to you. We want to abide in you. Lord, we repent of thinking that fruit is in things of this world, that we get caught up in this game of success and cultural things. Like, Lord, help us to just remember very simply that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, looking more like you, being led by the Spirit. Fruit is multiplication, evangelism and discipleship. That's all it is. Lord, remind us of that. These basics. And Lord, most importantly, we give you thanks. We give you so much praise for being the vine. You are what connects us. You are what gives us life. You, Jesus, are what connects us to the Father, the vine dresser. Because of what you've done on the cross on our behalf, Jesus, and your resurrection from the dead, we acknowledge that that is the only way that we can get to the Father is through you, Jesus. And the only way that we can be fruitful in this life, be used in this life, have significance in this life, is by being connected to you. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us. Every college student in here, would we have the humility to give up our lives for you, to connect our lives to you, to get out of the way, to give up our Friday nights in the future to evangelize, to give up our days to disciple, to give up the approval of man, to go silent on social media so that we might have more time to be in the secret place with you, because we know you are where life is found. Jesus, would you help us? Would you give us the humility to do this? We're begging you. Would you do it again, Lord? Would you bring revival? Would you bring reformation? Would you bring renewal? And would you use us? We're just breadcrumbs. All we got is breadcrumbs. But Lord, would you multiply them? And I pray that you would work in and through college students in the state of Texas, and that it would reach our cities, our future cities, and the nations, that unreached people would know you because of the way you are working in college students right here. Jesus, would you do it? We beg of you. Help us, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.